Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
I don't take into account. All I take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take into account.
All right, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have 136 draft beers. You needed them all probably by the end of the first quarter. They have a tremendous menu. Go there. They have 50-foot TVs. You can watch LSU kick the crap out of Notre Dame in the Music City Bowl, LSU basketball, NFL playoffs, all of it. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us.
Ralph, can you tell me why you bleep Jim Mora when he curses when we can curse freely on the podcast?
Because I like the sound of the beep. Huh. I like the sound of the beep.
That makes
Wait,
a lot of
what
sense.
Bowl did LSU get into?
The Music City Bowl.
Oh, Matt Ryan throws a pick.
Yes.
The NFC South. He's going the other way too.
He could take it to the house. Here.
He's going. He's running across the field.
Oh, how did he get tackled? Come on.
So they didn't even make the Advocate Bowl or the Texas Bowl.
They didn't make the Texas Bowl. I was prepared to buy tickets, but
the Music City, right? Memphis.
Music. That's right. No, Nashville.
Nashville against Notre Dame, right?
So, no worries. The Saints got dump trucked 41-10, but no worries because the NFC South, they'll wait for you. me and Kevin vented yesterday in the postgame. So Dave, I'll start with you. You got on me because I left early when it got to be 31-10. You stayed to the bitter end.
It wasn't 31-10. It was 31-3.
31-3 when I left.
Yeah, I stayed to the bitter end. I mean, I paid my ticket. Two tickets. That's $400.
Yeah, I could see why you stayed to the bitter end.
For eight Sundays a year.
Well, you got your money's worth. That's for sure.
I might as well stay. I got nothing else to do. I got to see the show. All right. I had nothing else to do on a Sunday afternoon, really. I stayed. You know, I wanted to see. I really wanted to make sure that they got a touchdown. I was starting Drew Brees in my fantasy team, and he had like 0 points up until like midway through the third quarter.
Drew Brees murdered probably thousands of playoff teams yesterday.
Not as bad as like Jimmy Graham and some of the other guys on the team. But there were so few people there, I felt like I had to stick around and cheer for them and try to remain positive. And I was actually really happy to see Ben Watson get the only touchdown since I sit behind.
Dave, do you feel any different about
the Saints? She was happy about that.
Dave, do you feel any different about the Saints NFC South chances after yesterday?
No, I have had very love for the Saints in the NFC South since a few weeks ago. So, and I mean, Atlanta's losing now to the Packers, and they will probably eventually lose the entire game. So, like you said, the NFC South, they'll wait up for you. at this point, you know, I've got to eat my words, and you could realistically have a 6-10 division win.
You laughed at me, Dave, when I said that.
I did.
6 weeks ago, you laughed.
You remember when Dave said that the winner of the NFC South would have 10 wins?
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
I remember that. 10
wins.
What
a farce. What a farce that was.
The three teams that finished second, third, and fourth might not have 10 wins between them. All right, Andrew.
Yep.
First question, did you sign the presidential petition to ban the siren on third down?
I did.
You did. I did as well.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on yesterday, did yesterday feel different than other ass kickings that we've seen the Saints receive this year?
Oh, without question. I mean, I thought it was worse than the Dallas game. I thought it was the worst game of the Sean Payton era. Certainly with Sean Payton on the sideline. I mean, I thought that was the worst. And I've kind of been going through different stages of grieving. I mean, during the game, obviously, like a lot of, I mean, I was looking at Twitter. A lot of people were pretty hot. Obviously, a lot of people were talking about running everyone out of town. I was mostly depressed. You know, I just felt like it was such a great opportunity. I was coming off the high of the Steelers win. And, you know, I felt like this was a team the Saints could easily beat. I thought this was a game at home that they should be able to take care of. And for them to play the way they did was just so depressing. And this morning, I kind of started to develop some anger, a lot of resentment towards Junior Gallet and just the lacking maturity on the team. And then as the day progressed, you know, and kind of now where I'm at is, you know what? They're 5-8. And I think if you were to say, if you were to look at it in the big picture and say, can they run the table and win three straight games? I think anyone would say, no way, forget it. There's no chance that they can do that. But I think if you look at the games individually in a vacuum, one at a time, and Green Bay just scored, by the way, 24, so it's 24-7. But, you know, if you look at them in a vacuum, I think they can win those one at a time. I mean, the opponents that they have are really poor. So, assuming they win those one at a time and they go 8-8 and they win their division, I'm not going to turn my nose up at that. Yes, I know they're going to get killed in the playoffs. And I know that if they get there, we're probably going to be embarrassed by someone. But I'm not going to turn my nose up at a banner going up that says NFC South champion in the Superdome, because we haven't had enough to act like we're too good for that. So I'm still, until they're eliminated from playoff contention, I'm going to keep rooting for wins.
Hell,
well, my mother-in-law always buys, you know, the NFC South champion t-shirts and hats whenever.
We'll wear it with pride. It should have six. They should have a hat and it should have 6-10 on the side.
But she told me the other day, she said, you can buy your own damn hat and shirt if they win the position, because I am not good. And she, you know, and she's always the one who goes like Academy Sports, like that night, like the night the game is over, and, you know, and Academy's got all the merchandise like out front the store, the second it's official. But she's like, I'm not wearing or buying any of that shit this year.
Kevin, you did a masterful job hosting yesterday, because I was angry at the game and I drank my ass off at that.
I just want to say real quick, I'm so happy that Kevin's back. I mean, this feels like this feels like Van Halen with Kevin as David Lee Roth finally coming to his senses and doing a tour with the boys again.
Thank you.
Teacher.
I hope Kevin talks about his trip to New Orleans.
Yeah. So Kevin, most importantly, did you get yourself some after the podcast?
I did not. I met a very nice lady. We drank some Jack Daniels and beer.
Nice.
And just chatted it up a little bit. And
bada beam, bada boom.
I may go see, and we'll probably see each other again.
Nice.
So at least something positive happened on Sunday for me.
Kevin,
yada yada yada, now I've got herpes.
Kevin, you know me.
Wait, Kevin, are you moving to New Orleans, or are you still in? That was just a trip.
God, no, I'm not.
He was
not
just visiting family.
So
he came to visit me.
Kevin,
yeah, me and Dave hung out. Dave was a real mensch and picked up the check.
Nice.
Was it a hot lunch, Kevin?
Yes.
Steaming.
Oh, I lost my train of thought.
I'll tell you what your thought is. Campus Connection is your place to get all of your t-shirt and hat printing needs. Why, all of your sorority and fraternity shirts can be printed with little to no trouble whatsoever. Have a strange color? Why, talk to Dave at Campus Connection. They will meet your needs at very reasonable prices.
I want a fuchsia shirt with a panda.
You can have that and more at Campus Connection.
Is Campus Connections going to have the NFC South championship?
I hope so.
No. I got out of a lot of that Saints.
Can I have a
actually.
Dump truck?
It's not going to have any Tulane champion shirts. I know that for sure.
Oh, not going to carry any. Oh, don't worry. It's not going to carry any Loyola merchandise.
Burn.
It's the first thing he says when he gets to the store.
Yeah, they're the official provider of Loyola Frisbee team gear. Kevin, yes, you know, me and you always joke that Drew Brees is the king of the vanilla soundbite, and he has his image, and he never says anything controversial at all. But I think yesterday, besides ripping on Goodell, which he does freely, when he said, you know, the Saints aren't a mature football team and they have to be more professional, like, that's as crazy a soundbite as Drew Brees, I think, has ever said in a post-game show or post-game with Saints. Do you think the Saints locker room, something is amiss with either Brees or the Gallet comments or anything?
Oh, yeah, something has to be amiss, because I don't think they would say any of that. I don't think any of that stuff would have been going on if there wasn't any sort of difficulty. That's about all I've got.
Insightful. But I mean, let me ask you.
You brought David Lee Roth back for me to get that sort of insight, like hot for teacher.
But Kevin, did you sign the siren petition?
No. Somebody needs to send me a link, and I'll sign it.
Just go Google that shit. We need 250. What do you need? I think you need 25.
Oh, Matt Ryan just threw another pick.
It's picks on picks on picks. I love it.
That was a fat guy pick too.
It was. You know, I have to say, I need to these bad Saint losses, I need to get over it, and I just need to remind myself how much fun the NFC South is in 2014.
I mean, watching the Atlanta Falcons has made me so much happier this year than the Saints.
It is. You know, we're gonna have Dave Choate on, because I called it like 2 months ago. I was like, Dave, it's fucking happening. 5-9, December 21st for all the marbles, or the broken marbles. It's happening. It's gonna happen. I feel it. Dave, Jimmy Graham to me looks really fucking hurt. Should the Saints shut him down for the rest of the year?
Yes.
No, they shouldn't shut him down. I mean, I don't know. It looked like he hurt himself at some point in the middle of the game this past week, and he was definitely getting looked at by trainers on the sideline, but it didn't look like anything serious. I don't know if he's got another lingering issue, injury issues somewhere that's affecting him. To be honest with you, I think the reason you're not seeing Graham as much is more the fact that they're not using him. I mean, there have been numerous times where I have at home games where I've seen him standing on the sidelines and not out on the field. Even like on third down.
No, hold on, Dave. He had 11 targets, man. I mean, he turned in three catches with 11 targets. I mean, if Brees is throwing the ball to him 11 times, and that's the best stat line he can produce.
He's not out there on every single down. I mean, obviously.
He had three drops on third down that killed drives. I mean, if he gets a first down there and catches the football, the drive keeps going and he would be on the field more.
I mean, I would say, and I think this is the case for most of the team, I mean, these guys just really don't have their head in it. To make a drop like, you know, I think it was late in the game. It was probably the fourth quarter when he was wide open. And I'm like, I want to say like a short crossing pattern or something. And Brees, you know, put it right in his chest. And I mean, he just dropped it. He didn't even come down.
There was no one within 5 yards of him.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of mistakes, they've just got to be mental. I mean, there's no other way about it. I mean, those things really should be just automatic at this point for Graham. I mean, he's taken so many reps and practice, and he's been in the league for so long now that you got to make that catch in your sleep at this point. And it boggles my mind that he's dropping those kind of passes. So it just makes me think that there's something, you know, mental going on with him and quite a few other players. And as far as the team is concerned and their performance this week, you know, these guys just don't have the mental makeup, and they're not tough enough mentally to go down 17 points in 6 minutes or whatever ridiculous, you know, time frame it was to come back. I mean, they just pretty much, you know, 8 minutes into the first quarter and down 17 points. I mean, I think they had already just given up the game and they were just trying to, you know, go to the locker room at that point.
Kevin, last year when the Saints shit the bed in St. Louis, Peyton fired Garrett Hartley and he benched Charles Brown. Do you think we might see something that drastic this week and Monday against the Bears?
If they lose against the Bears, I mean,
or going into, well, either going into the Bears or if they lose badly to the Bears.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. Like who are you going to bring in? Because it sure as hell feels like who are the Saints going to bring in on defense?
Just bench guys and play the guys they have that haven't been playing. I don't know if they could bring in anybody.
Well, then, if that's the case, then, yeah, I suppose I could see them doing that.
Andrew,
I would say I could see that, yeah.
Andrew, who would it be? Like, if Peyton was, like, fed up and went into the defensive meetings and was like, we're benching this guy. Like, who would it – what would it be if he was going to go that route, you think?
I mean, I could see him maybe benching Akeem Hicks. Excuse me. I could see him maybe benching David Hawthorne. I mean, there's not a ton of guys defensively. I mean, who are they going to replace him with? Yeah. You know, I could see Jimmy Graham maybe not starting a game to punish him, but I mean, he's banged up. He's doing his best, I think. So, but yeah, I don't really know. I mean, it's a collective thing. You know, you can't really point to one guy. Now I will say this, and you know, I want to touch on Jimmy Grant. I mean, on Junior Gallette, obviously after what he said during the week, I know you guys talked about it during the post game show, but my main issue, and I've had an issue for a long time with Junior Gallette, and I've said that I don't like the way he carries himself. I don't like how he talks on Twitter, and I'm old school like that. I mean, I really liked the 2009 team. Obviously they won the Super Bowl, but more so just the characters on the team. You look at Will Smith and Fujita and Scott Shanley, guys that just comport themselves right. And I think Gallette, for a long time, I've said, no, he's not behaving the right way. And I think I remember the angry Hootat and a lot of guys on Twitter just being like, Gallette's awesome. No, I love a guy that's crazy. I love a guy that, but the problem with a guy like that is when you start losing, and that bad character starts to show itself. And
the problem is he's a captain.
The comments that, yeah, I mean, the fact that he's a captain is a joke. And the fact that he would go out there and dog players who've been to multiple Pro Bowls, he hasn't been to one, multiple Pro Bowls, Super Bowl winner, captain, a guy that actually tries against the run, actually plays well against the run, and he's going to go out there and say that he's better than a guy like that in his prime. I'm sorry, but that guy hasn't done shit in his career to be able to put himself on a pedestal like
and
that.
And
to go out after he said that shit and perform the way he did. And I'm sorry, but I don't know if you guys watched the game at all or watched the tape.
Terrible.
The way he played the read option and the way he contained Cam Newton, which allowed Newton to just run free for 25 yards because – he refused to contain. I mean, that's 101 football, guys. And for Junior Gallette to goof like that is just inexcusable. It's awful football. He should be embarrassed. I'm sorry, but he's not on the same planet as Will Smith if you watch that tape and how he played in that game. So, you know, again, a lot of these guys came to his defense on Twitter and said that he's better than Will Smith. I'll say it again, not on the same planet.
Yeah. Dave
and Will Smith wasn't even that good.
And Will Smith had some good years, and Will Smith
he was never as athletic as Gallette. He was never as explosive, but he was always solid.
He was never a train wreck.
Bad seasons, but overall he was a solid football player. Gallette at this point still has major holes in his game.
Kevin, regardless of, you know, the Saints, look, the NFC South is the worst division in the history of football. I think we can – that's obvious. So whether the Saints win it or not, but off of what you've seen yesterday and this year and the age and everything of this team, how concerned are you that the Saints are going to be stuck in this crappy to mediocre level going into next year?
I don't know what you're talking about, because Sean Payton at his presser said that the team just played average. So, you know, so yeah, average. I think we're just a couple of players away, and I think Sean Payton should take his whatever pick he gets in the first round in 2016 and the second round for 2017, trade both of those now. And use that to get up into the top 15 for this year, if he's not going to be there already.
And what does he need to draft? like a wide
somebody receiver. Somebody to tell him to shut the fuck up the next time he suggests trading up in the draft.
I forgot about that yesterday. Oh, that was a glorious rant.
Well, that's speaking of trading up. That was the point when I was saying earlier that I'm going to continue to root for the Saints to win. One point I wanted to make about that was I don't believe in the theory that a higher draft pick guarantees a better player, or that being higher in your division guarantees a worse schedule. We don't know next year what quarterbacks will get hurt. We don't know what teams will go from 10-6 to 4-12. It happens. I mean, if you're going to pick in the top 10 and get Jonathan Sullivan, that's worse than picking 17th and getting a guy that's a solid player for 10 years. So nothing's guaranteed tomorrow, you know.
Dave, this defense looked – I mean, it looked helpless against Baltimore. It fell ass backwards into some turnovers against Pittsburgh and made a couple of stops. And yesterday it looked helpless.
But what's the common denominator in all those games?
Their run defense was shitty.
Exactly. Can't stop the run.
So, Dave, my question to you is, what is a fair barometer for this defense to do week in and week out for the last 3 weeks? Like when you watch that game Monday against Chicago, what are you saying? Okay, defense. This is what I want you to do, and this is realistic at this point.
Oh, you know, I'm not trying to give a cop-out answer, but it's it's turnovers. you know, that's the you mentioned it in your question. You know, they lucked into two turnovers. I wouldn't say they lucked into two turnovers. Cam Jordan made a good play and
took
the pass.
Don't you dare call him that.
Sorry. But that was the difference maker in that game. And turnovers usually are the difference maker in most games. I mean, that's why the Saints lost this game. They turned the ball over two times in their first three plays. And, you know, and the Panthers were smart enough to step on their throats when they had the opportunity. You know, this defense, they're not going to play like amazing. You know, every now and then we get some good play from the cornerbacks. You know, we see some good coverage. And I actually feel like the coverage in the secondary has been better these last two games, I would say. They've made some decent plays. But the one thing that's going to mask a poor defense, which the Saints have, I mean, they just don't play great defense. They're average at best, I would say. And
that's
the
generous.
One thing that's going to mask that – well, I'm trying to be nice here. And the one thing that's going to mask poor defense is going to be turnovers. If you get turnovers, then you're giving your offense multiple, you know, extra possessions. And obviously you're taking away possessions from your opponent. So and if you can get them in the red zone, you know, where you're guaranteed to get some points out of it, then that's even better. You know, so if the Saints and they've been shitty at it. I mean, they've been just terrible. They're like, you know, minus whatever, minus 10,
touchdown
11.
Packers, 31-7.
This is what is this? The second
31-7,
quarter, still?
31-7.
Second quarter, yeah. They're on pace to score 62 points. Dave, you're absolutely right, man. I couldn't agree more.
So we're not even hoping that they play good.
Dave's point is that when you're so bad on defense, that means your third down conversion. I mean, we've seen how they've been doing it on third down. They're just not getting off the field. So the emphasis on turnovers, I mean, it's critical because that's the only way you're getting off the field.
Well, the thing is, though, what I was going to say is their run as bad as their defense was, until the San Francisco game, Andrew, I felt like the run defense was – it wasn't great, but it was okay to middle of the pack. And since the San Francisco game, it's cratered. Is there no hope of getting that back to?
I don't think so because I mean their best player, really on the interior, Broderick Bunkley against the run at least is out for the year, and I think again a really underrated injury in terms of the run defense is Rafael Bush because he's such a solid tackler and. You know, a lot of these he takes good angles, and a lot of these 7-8 yard runs, you know, where they get past the second level, are now turning into those 15 or 20 yarders. And Pierre Warren, he's just not playing the run well at all.
Kevin, that's a good point. But Kevin, of everything that happened yesterday, what infuriated you the most and made you want to punch a wall?
Not getting Pierre Thomas the ball. I mean, like, in the fourth quarter, as I was getting ready to take care of my bill and shuffle on, they finally decided, oh, yeah, we can hand the ball off to this guy, or, oh, yeah, we can throw a short pass to this guy. And, oh, yeah, he ran hard and... You know, I mean, granted, it was garbage yardage, but the man was still running hard, and I don't know why Sean Payton just keeps insisting on not giving Pierre Thomas anything to work with. Like, look, I get that if you want Mark Ingram to be the main back, but Pierre can do a couple of other things. Pierre can do the screen passes. Pierre can take the occasional handoff to give Mark Ingram a spell. You know,
Dave, they had the best brawl that I've seen that I've ever seen at a Saints game, and I've been going for 25 years. It was by far the best brawl I've ever seen.
One kept going on.
You have primo seats. What did you see down there, closer?
You see, it's deceiving. My seats may be really low to the field, but that doesn't really make them that great. Really, the ideal seats would be, I mean, obviously being closer to the 50-yard line would be awesome. But, I mean, the real primo seats are the ones that I think are, you know, 15 rows behind me. Because then you're a little bit higher. You're over the line of sight of the people on the sideline, and you get a better view. You can see the far end of the field, so... So let's, you know, my seats are not that amazing, but so you miss things like I didn't see Newton try to do the Superman thing, and I didn't see Curtis Lofton go to, you know, hit him because he felt he was being disrespectful. I didn't see any of that. All I see is just a whole pile of guys that keep pushing and shoving, and they all kind of moved in unison together. It was a whole pile of guys. But I mean, this whole group, this whole mass of men, if you will. They like all moved together as because they were all stuck together and holding each other and hitting each other and pushing each other, and it was just funny because they just kept going back and they backed up against the gate. I really thought I was watching a cartoon because I was really wondering how far they were going to go. Like, are they going to take this like into the tunnel? Like this would be awesome.
They kind of did.
I was just really surprised that it went as far as it did.
Into the tunnel. Men were going into the tunnel, deep into the tunnel.
Men went to third base.
Andrew, I know that as Saints fans, like, our number one rival is, like, we hate Atlanta. They're the team we hate the most, and the fans hate each other. But I feel like the actual players, it's Carolina. Like, the Carolina players and the Saints players fucking hate each other.
I don't know. I think there's no love lost with the Falcons, too.
I don't know. Malcolm Jenkins fought the Panthers last year. I feel like I can't remember the last time the Saints and Atlanta
fought. That's true. No, you're right. No, there's a lot of bad blood between those two. And I feel like Cam Newton brings a lot of it, you know. I mean, just his striking the pose and holding it on the first downs. He was definitely in rare form. And the Falcons just tried a field goal before halftime and it was blocked.
So no.
31-7 at halftime.
Nice.
But I don't know, man.
So, okay. Fun internet rumor is the super secret candidate for the Michigan job is Sean Payton.
Yeah, shut up.
And it's not
That sounds very Saints reporting.
No, it was like a Detroit sports blog. But
why would Sean Payton coach?
I'll say there's a 2% chance because in 2007
2% of my ass.
In 2007, they asked him and he didn't deny it. All he said was, "Yeah, Michigan called me and I told them I'm a pro coach." So there's like a 2% chance. So, Kevin, here's my question to you.
That's exactly the answer I would expect Sean Payton to give, because that's exactly the reason why I don't see him ever taking a college job. He's a pro guy. He's just not a college guy.
The guy won a Super Bowl. I mean, why would he ever want to leave the NFL as a Super Bowl champion? Yeah.
But I have a great scenario that's going to make Kevin's head explode, and I've been waiting to tell him. So this is what I'm going to say. Kevin, Sean Payton's going to go to Michigan. And the 49ers are going to fire Jim Harbaugh. Would you be okay?
Well, Harbaugh is just leaving. He's leaving.
Yeah, well, he can leave or whatever. But would you be okay with Saints head coach Jim Harbaugh if Sean Payton left?
Kevin, think of it this way. If he's good, you can live with it because of the team's success. And if he's awful, then you can be very quick to call for his head.
Right, because he's a raging asshole. And I mean, look, it's not like Sean Payton. It's not like Sean Payton is a
saint.
But he is a saint.
It's not like Sean Payton is the coolest, nicest guy on the block. I mean, you could have worse choices, and he would at least be coming in with a good pro pedigree. I mean, as long as he didn't try and push some fucking Colin Kaepernick horse shit on us. I would be fine, I guess.
I mean, he made Alex Smith. He got Alex Smith to an NFC Championship. I think he'd be okay with Breeze, but that'd be a lot of douche on the sidelines. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. Look. Earlier this year, when you brought up the question, would I rather have, or it was either who did I hate more, or who would I rather have, Harbaugh or Pete Carroll? The answer was easy, and it was Harbaugh, because I'm not having a fucking truther coach the goddamn team ever. I don't care. I don't care if Pete Carroll wins the next four Super Bowls and becomes as revered as fucking Lombardi. I'm not having a fucking truther coaching the team.
Well said. So, Andrew, the Saints offense, God, they turn the ball over. I don't have it in front of me, but is this the worst year as far as turnovers that they've ever had under Sean Payton? It feels like
it. It definitely feels like it. I don't think it is. I mean, there was a year where Breeze was in the 20s in picks. So, I mean, I think the main issue is that, again, and I've said this before, I mean, the offense is still – I mean, they're okay. They're pretty good. I mean, you asked what infuriated us the most about last week, and I'll get back to the offense in a second. I mean, for me, probably the most infuriating was to start the second half. Okay, you just played an awful first half, but you come back out, you go three and out, and then the first play is a 70-yard run. And that was where my
– That drove me from the stadium.
Literally. Yeah, that was a throw a brick through the TV moment for me. That actually drove me to drinking. That's when I started drinking. But
that's something that the old Saints would have never done.
Never, yeah. No. But on offense for me, it was the drop passes, and that's something we haven't really seen all year. I mean that was kind of. I mean we've seen Colston, of course, drop passes, but we haven't seen, you know, eight in a game. It was ridiculous. I mean, every other pass was being dropped. So
they dropped a ton of passes in 2010.
I still think the offense is okay. I mean, I still think they're capable of making plays. They still have good players. You know, I think the line has kind of been up and down, but I still believe the offense can have a good game. I think, again, we go back to why does it seem like they have so many turnovers? It's because they're magnified. And we saw it in Pittsburgh. The only way this team can win games right now, as bad as the defense is the offense has to play perfect. If the offense doesn't play perfect, the Saints have no chance, period, against anyone right now.
Yeah.
And that's a tall order, man. That's a tall order to say your defense is so bad, you've got to go down the field and score touchdowns. You can't go three and out. You can't turn the ball over. I mean, I just don't know too many offenses, even Aaron Rodgers, would have trouble winning with this defense.
Except against Atlanta. So we got a ton of Twitter questions. I asked people Twitter questions to fire their Twitter questions and also to tell me why yesterday wasn't so bad. So we have some fun stuff. First question is from Leo. Dave, and I'll fire this one at you. Peyton refused to rule out roster changes. Who's leading the race to get cut?
To get just outright cut.
To just get cut. It's an easy one. That's an easy one. It's Saunders, the punt returner. He's one fumbled punt from seeing the door. I mean, that's
you're kidding, right?
No, I think he's one fumbled punt from seeing the door. You don't like
Saunders?
Yeah,
maybe he's the only guy that played well.
But I mean, I think like if he fumbles a punt against Chicago, he might not be on the team against Atlanta.
No, I think he's earned his roster spot through the rest of the year.
Maybe, I don't know.
Who, Ingram?
No,
he's talking about Jalen Saunders.
Jalen Saunders deserves more time, if anything.
This is JFF says none of us.
Hey, can you guys with me on this? Why the fuck is Jalen Saunders not returning kickoffs?
I don't know.
You know, and he's got that whatever a good punt returner has where he can set up the blocks and he can be patient. Like, so he's got that.
Yeah.
He's got that. So that's a key. Let's see.
I'm going to say the starter most likely to get benched. I'm going to go with David Hawthorne.
Good one. Let's see.
I mean, unless you want to say Patrick Robinson, I mean, he's already been benched and then got his job back, so it's like musical chairs at number two corner. So.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't like yesterday was that everybody bailed in the locker room. There was only like Zach Strief and Breeze and Lofton, like Gillette and all them motherfuckers just.
I know. I want to hear from Gillette.
That's kind of chicken shit.
Yeah.
Freaking own it, Gillette.
You can't wear the C on your chest and not face the media. Like, no. And that's the one thing, like, people always got on me and my columns and stuff. Because Jason David is fucking terrible as he was.
And he was terrible.
And he was. But Kevin, every week, he sat at his locker and he answered the questions. Every week. And
he owned it.
He owned it. And I respected him and I rooted for him. So,
Fred Thomas was like that too.
Yeah, I just think you gotta like people. There's certain players like you gotta, and that's what Breeze is talking about. Maybe you know you gotta own it, and you gotta act like a professional. Okay, this is from Reichert. Kevin, this is for you. Superdome siren equals near guaranteed third down conversion. Why not blare it when the Saints are on offense?
Yes. Yes, a little bit of reverse technological psychology. I like that.
Oh, that is a great question, Riker. We appreciate
that's a great suggestion. And that personally, is. You need to tweet directly to the Saints for that.
Riker, you need to get on that. Tweet directly to the Saints. This is from Cha-Ching.
They're not listening, because if they were listening, they obviously would have stopped the third down air horn by now, because not one goddamn person has said, "Oh man, I really love that air horn that they play on."
No. I know. So instead, don't say stop playing it altogether. Say play it on third down, since it always results in a conversion.
Yes, exactly. Andrew,
did you just say cha-ching?
I did, because that.
I
was
mean,
the guy.
What a fucking great old school Saints reference that is.
Yeah, it's a guy from it's a Twitter guy. So yeah. He says, why are the Saints suddenly better on the road?
Man, if I knew that. It's unbelievable. Two in a row. I just think they're bad. They're so bad, and I think right now they need any help they can get. And when you have a little bit of wind or elements, maybe that's slowing down the offense a little bit. I mean, I think in the Carolina game they were fortunate that the Carolina was missing. I mean, they started an undrafted rookie at left tackle. That was his first start. And I think the guards both were injured. So I think they were lucky to catch Carolina when their offensive line was literally – I mean, they were just throwing guys out there.
Yeah.
And against the Steelers, I think they were fortunate that Ben Roethlisberger did something to his hand, and he just wasn't right the rest of the game. So yeah. Those two things happened, I think, that helped them in those games. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they play against the Bears.
This is a good question from the Gear Fondler, Dave. What was the mix of sadness and satisfaction of the ex-Saints players Junior Gallette dissed as they watched Sunday's debacle?
Like rank them?
Were they giddy? Were they happy that he bombed, or were they sad that the Saints were getting their ass kicked?
No, absolutely. They were smiling at home as they watched it.
Oh, I don't agree with that. I think those are high character guys, man. They root for the Saints. They want the team to do well.
That doesn't mean they're not going to enjoy a little crow salad sandwich.
Yeah. You know,
not at the expense of the team and what they built. I think, honestly, just knowing what I know about those guys, I don't think that they would – that some idiot running his mouth would trump them taking their legacy seriously.
No, I think you're putting them on a pedestal. No.
Well, they deserve to be after this week.
All right, this is a fun question. This is a fun question. We can go around the horn, but Kevin, you can start. This is from Super Saiyan Saint. If you could cut – or trade one guy, who is it and why?
Cut or trade one guy
with no cap ramifications?
Well, no. I guess so. We'll say that. No cap ramifications. But Kevin, you start.
God, I'm terrible at these things. That's the sort of honesty you want in your podcasters.
Yes, remember to donate. We need money. We need to pay the fees for 2015, people. Donate what you can.
That's exactly right.
Thanks to Hugh Winkler. He donated $25 last week. Thanks, Hugh.
Awesome. Wow.
Thank you.
Hugh Winkler. I love that name.
Yeah.
Hugh the man.
Hugh Winkler.
So, Kevin, you can pass this question, and we can go on to Andrew if you don't.
What
have
a guy! That old Hugh Winkler really always coming through.
You could always depend on the old Hugh Winkler. Because Because I have a an answer of a player.
Yeah, that guy's never donating again.
No, he's never.
After that,
I have a guy that I if there was no salary cap ramifications that you could cut or trade, I know who I would answer.
Okay, I'd pick Junior Gallet. I'm sick of his attitude.
I would if you could get rid of a guy and it was no cap or anything, I would walk away from Jarris Bird and just hit the reset button on it.
Wow,
well, that's a good one.
And just if you didn't have to worry about the cap, I would just boom hit the reset button and be able to do something else with that money.
Ouch, it hurts to hear you say that, but yeah, it's a good call.
Dave,
I mean, which would you say is the worst? I mean, that's the real question. What's the worst contract on the Saints right now? Is it Jarris Bird?
I think it's Jarris Bird because I think Junior Gallet, he's probably going to get to. He's got 7 sacks now, and if he's not that hurt, he'll probably get to 10. So paying a guy 10.
Well, you think he's going to get 3 sacks in 3 games?
Yeah, if he's not hurt.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Because I think they've got the home game against Atlanta, and I think Tampa Bay's line is god awful.
I think he'll finish with 8 sacks.
Okay, but even still, that's not a terrible contract at 8 to 10 sacks a year for $10 million. It's not awful. That Bird contract, if he's can't come back healthy and he's still injured and beat up, that's a awful contract, Andrew. Awful.
Yeah, you're right.
Dave, this is a good question.
It's not out of the question that they would cut him before his big roster bonus, by the way.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
I mean, I don't think they will, but they might.
Yeah. Dave, if Peyton gets a big pass, what assistants, position coaches do you think he might fire?
If Peyton gets
Peyton gets a pass for this year, they're not going to fire. That's what the person meant. Peyton's not going to get fired, but he might change assistants. What position coaches do you think might get the axe? Julio Jones is going to the house.
I don't know. I certainly think that Rob Ryan should stay another year. And if that's what you're aiming at, I don't know. Cornerback, safety coach, defensive backs coach. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but at this stage, you can make a case for damn near anybody.
Andrew, any thoughts on?
I mean, I'd love to see Greg McMahon go. I mean, I'm getting sick of the special teams play. I mean, and for me, you asked me what was the most maddening thing. I mean, at that point in the game, it didn't matter. But the Martez Wilson special, 4th and 1, offsides on a punt. I mean, that is just – I mean, when something like that happens, I think the whole unit should be fired. Seriously. I mean, everyone on staff. I mean, something like that just can never happen. And I've just felt like the return game, the blocking, the coverage. I mean, the only thing that the Saints have really had good going with their special teams for the last 3 years is Thomas Morstead, maybe even more than that. So based on that, I mean, I'd like to see a special teams coach that's a little more creative and successful.
Yeah, I think the defensive line guy, Bill Johnson, he might be, if you're going to make a change, I could see him being a guy that gets the gets the old heave-ho. This is from Adam Fauché. Kevin, if the Falcons win the division, do they keep Mike Smith? This is such an excruciating last month of the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they win the division, God, I hope they keep Mike Smith. I've stressed this before. I don't want Mike Smith to go. Mike Smith is a boon to the New Orleans economy.
Oh, poor Mike Smith.
A boon to our win share.
But the rumor.
Hey, how many times? Hey, is Arthur Blank on? Is Arthur Blank on the field, like behind him, like staring at him?
No,
like he's going to have him assassinated.
But I read something today, Kevin, that I nearly had an orgasm at my desk. It got me so excited. And it was this: one of the leading candidates. I think I read this on SB Nation somewhere. One of the leading candidates when they get rid of Mike Smith is going to be Mike Singletary.
Yeah, I said that yesterday.
Oh, God. Oh, that would be beautiful.
That guy is horrific. I covered him when I worked at the movie. He is so bad of a coach. Like, it will be glorious, because if they bring him in next year, they got to give him at least 2 years. You got to give a guy at least 2 years. I mean, that would be just fantastical. Andrew, this is a good one. If Jim Mora was still the coach, yesterday would have been how great of a rant?
Oh, it would have been the greatest of all time. I mean, I just the Peyton Manning interception tweet would have taken a backseat. I mean, in a lot of ways, it felt like that rant, you know, that he had, where couldn't do anything on offense, couldn't do anything on defense. Anytime they got the ball, they went down and got points on us. I mean, that rant, a lot of it applies.
But Andrew, the best part would have been when somebody would ask him, "Do you think the Saints quit?" He could have said, "I don't think they quit. I think Ingram played hard. He put his neck in there. He fumbled the ball. It's a horseshit ball carrying, but he's playing hard."
I'm not buying the effort was fine narrative, by the way. I thought the effort was piss poor. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, we've had reporters and Sean Payton saying, "Oh, I don't know if it's effort." No, it's effort. The effort was not there.
Yeah, I mean,
guys going through the motions. There was no passion. There was no focus. There was no energy. It was pathetic.
No, the effort was not great in the first half, obviously, because they were getting their head kicked in, but it was satisfactory. In the second half, it was not.
Yes,
agreed. You know. So now we get to the preview part of the podcast. So I will start with you, Mr. Held, because you haven't been here for 3 weeks. The Saints go to Chicago on a Monday night.
Yeah.
I will be in Las Vegas, so I can gamble irresponsibly on that game. And stunning to me, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite against the Chicago Bears.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
The Bears are pretty bad, guys.
I don't know.
Yeah, and Brandon Marshall's out for the year.
So, Kevin, how is the game going to go? And give me an MVP or an LVP for Monday night's game.
All right, so despite Jay Cutler throwing an interception, despite him fumbling the ball and turning it over, so despite being personally responsible for two turnovers himself, smoking Jay Cutler and his anti-vax crusade will lead the Bears down the field in the fourth quarter, where he throws another touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey, who gets over 200 yards receiving.
I will take
the Bears. I will take the Bears by a final of 24-20.
Andrew?
I think the Bears are going to watch game tape, and they're going to decide based on what they see that Matt Forte will have 67 carries for 389 yards. Jay Cutler will not turn the ball over because he will not throw a single pass in this game. Little known secret, I booked their wedding band, him and Kristen Cavallari. But I am.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It is.
Why
true.
Would you have booked their wedding band?
I book bands for a living.
I know that, but why would you have? But what connection do you have to them?
They wanted a good band. I don't know. I also booked the wedding band for Russell Wilson. Also, a little known secret, but that marriage is already not worked out.
Burned to the ground.
Yep.
Okay. So explain how this works. They know of a band that they really like that they want at their wedding, and you happen to represent that band.
In this case, Jay Cutler was married in Nashville, I believe. It was in Tennessee. I can't remember if it was Knoxville or Nashville. Vanderbilt's in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
Okay. His wedding was in Nashville. And the venue where he was having his wedding was a venue where they recommend us. They recommend our bands. And Russell Wilson, I'm in Virginia, and Russell Wilson's an hour from, he's from an hour from here. So that was more like a local connection thing.
Gotcha.
But I've had about six or seven NFL players. Chris Long of the Rams did his wedding. Patrick Peterson of the Cardinals. Mm. Derek Cox, who the Saints almost signed with his wedding band.
My wife coordinated Brandon LaFell's wedding.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm going to say, the Saints can't stop the run. Forte is going to run for 300 and he's going to run for a lot of yards. So I'm going to say Bears 38. I'm going to say the Saints offense shows signs of life, but they're going to turn it over. I'll say 38-24. Bears.
The Bears. The Bears.
The Bears.
Dave.
Mini Ditka.
I'm going with everybody else. I'm going to predict the Bears.
The Bears.
I'm going to say that those guys made it. Those guys had close games. I'm going to say the Bears, it's a blowout. Saints just continue to embarrass themselves. The good news, though, is that the Falcons and the Panthers are also going to lose in week 15. And everybody's just going to have the same exact record going into week 16. But I'll say I'm not going to give an LVP. I'm going to say that even though they lose, Pierre Thomas is going to have a good game for the Saints since he's back at home in Chicago. He always does well in Chicago. In fact, I think 07 against Chicago was sort of like his coming out party. He had like 100 yards rushing and receiving, which was like the first time I think anybody on the Saints had ever done that, actually. I'm going to go with total blowouts, embarrassing. Everybody's going to have to drink a lot. 38-10.
All you people are wrong.
Bears.
All you people are wrong. I snapped my 9-game losing streak of picking the Saints game wrong this week. I told you the Saints would, after looking awesome in Pittsburgh, they would shit the bed in Carolina and lose. I didn't think they would totally shit the bed like they did, but they lost, and I got it right. The Saints are going to go to Chicago, and it is going to look for all the world like they are going to lose. And then Jay Cutler is going to throw a pass so horrible that when whatever Saints player intercepts it, I'm going to say it's going to be Brian Dixon just because why not? You're just going to laugh because it's going to be so fucking bad. And then Jay Cutler's going to give that I don't give a shit stare. And Monday Night Football is going to show him for like 5 straight minutes, and the Saints are going to win, and Rob Ryan is going to be pumped, and he's going to eat 6 deep dish pizzas, and the Saints are going to move into first place all by themselves at 6-8. And your MVP is Brian Dixon because he's going to have an interception. That's what's happening, I'm telling you. I'm fired up.
You're not going with Stanley Jean-Baptiste getting the active and then getting a pick 6, huh?
I like that. That's ridiculous, Andy. that's completely ridiculous. But if it happens, I'll clip this audio and we'll replay it next week.
Might as well have a fucking unicorn on the team.
Seriously, how perfect would it be for Jean-Baptiste to finally get some playing time, get a pick 6, and then the whole fan base just goes nuts, being like, "Why hasn't he been?
Why hasn't
all
he played?
Year?
God damn it!" God damn it, he was there all year. So go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave's got threads and stuff, and Andrew's got grades, which Andrew should get combat pay for having to do the grades this week. So at least
Spoiler alert, the best grade on defense was a C+.
Who got a C+? I didn't see that.
Well, I haven't shown defense yet.
I know. But, I read the offensive grades. They're pretty
I think I might have given Lofton a C+, or maybe Pierre Warren, one of those guys.
And Kevin is on Twitter.
Yep.
Did you guys see that Lofton is number 2 in the NFL in tackles?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I noticed that a couple of weeks ago. He was like 3rd.
He's good 17 behind Keekly.
Yeah, Luke Keekly.
So Go to Saints Nation. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Find Kevin on Twitter. When he's not tweeting about wrestling. Which is most of the time he's tweeting about football. So, and donate. Remember to donate.
You should take us out to some David Lee Roth Van Halen.
Yeah, and
in honor of Kevin coming back.
And I will be in Vegas next week, so we will probably not have a podcast until Wednesday, unless one of these knuckleheads wants to do it live.
Do it live!
Do it live!
We'll do it live! Sucks!
So until next week, be safe and be well.